Evening. Just waiting for something to come up on the screen. Thank you, Dan. As we meet this evening to remember those we've loved and lost and to remember before God the situations that cause us pain and difficulty and to seek God's peace in those circumstances, I just wanted to reflect very briefly on the deeper meaning of a couple of words. Firstly, as we remember our loved ones or our situations before God, it's worth remembering, it's worth reflecting on what we're doing when we remember people or things. Remembering forms a significant part of our Christian faith, particularly at this time of year as we start to remember Jesus' birth once again, and also at the other end of his life. Remember that when he introduced what we now know as the communion service, Jesus said at the Last Supper, "Do this in remembrance of me." Most of the Christian church worships on a Sunday as a way of remembering the new beginning given by Jesus' resurrection. And we celebrate other feasts and special days throughout the year as a way of reminding ourselves of other parts of the gospel, or indeed as a way of committing parts of our story to God, as we saw just a couple of weeks ago at the Cenotaph service. So we think of remembering as a way of reflecting on the past, of looking back and bringing past events to mind. And that's true and it's right. But there is another really significant and important meaning of the word remember, which gives the word significance not only for the past, but for the present and for the future. If I said to you that something had been dismembered, what would you say had happened to it?
Taken apart.
It's been taken apart. But what if it's then put back together again? What words would you use to describe that? Remember. You see, that's what remember means. Remembering can literally mean putting back together something that has been dismembered. Most of the time, we remember things in our minds. We put back together events in our minds, and we do that sort of remembering. But actually, when we are remembered as individuals, then broken and damaged and dismembered aspects of our past lives are put back together again. Mind, body and soul in the present tense are once again enabled to enjoy wholeness, and helplessness in the face of an unknown future gives way to the hope of the resurrection. So remembering can have a present and a future meaning as well as a past meaning. And that should encourage us from two points of view. One is that we remember Jesus by meeting together and sharing communion from time to time. In the bread and the wine, we don't only recall the Bible stories that we know and love, but we put back together the events of the cross. And the Bible says that the church is Jesus' body on earth today. And so in a sense, that means that when we get together to worship God and to show the world how much he loves them, there is a sense in which we are remembering Jesus by putting him together for the world around us. The other point of view is that Jesus remembers us. God remembers us. We all have bad experiences of life which have hurt us in some way. And God is in the business of putting our broken lives back together, sometimes in this life, but most fully in the life to come. If you remember, there's a little story within the crucifixion story. You'll find it in Luke 23. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at Jesus. "Aren't you the Messiah?" he said. "Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." And here was Jesus' promise that he would remember this man. He wasn't just promising to remember his name, or worse, to remember what he'd done or why he was there. Quite the contrary, that bit would be forgiven and forgotten. He was promising to be with him in paradise. He was promising to remember him, to make him whole, to repair his broken life and make it new, to make him who he truly should have been all along. And that's where our second reflection comes in. Can anyone tell me what the Hebrew word is that we typically translate as peace? Shalom. Came straight out of your lips, didn't it? Three times in John's Gospel, after Jesus' resurrection, John records Jesus greeting his disciples with the phrase, "Peace be with you." Now, I don't know which of the languages prevalent in first century Israel Jesus used, whether it was Aramaic or Hebrew, or even Latin, which was unlikely, because the original New Testament text is written in Greek, to be helpful. But if he was speaking in Hebrew, then it is highly likely that this was the greeting Shalom, which Jewish people and others around the world today still use to express not just a friendly hello, but effectively a prayer of blessing for the wholeness of the person you're greeting. One author, a man named Cornelius Plantija, in his book Not the Way It's Supposed to Be, A Breviary of Sin, there's a few posh words there, he described the Old Testament concept of shalom in this way: the webbing together of God, humans, and all creation in justice, fulfillment, and delight is what the Hebrew prophets call shalom. We call it peace. But it means far more than mere peace of mind or a ceasefire between enemies. In the Bible, shalom means universal flourishing, wholeness, and delight. A rich state of affairs in which the natural needs are satisfied and natural gifts fruitfully employed. A state of affairs that inspires joyful wonder as its creator and savior opens doors and welcomes the creatures in whom he delights. Shalom, he says, in other words, is the way things ought to be. I love that definition. And that means that at one level, the greeting that we have translated as "peace be with you" is so familiar that it is in fact rarely recorded in the Gospels except by implication. It's only on a few occasions, such as events in John's Gospel, that it's recorded. And on another level, John feels that it is so important that he needs to record these three times in a few short days after his resurrection when Jesus uses this greeting. In the midst of their sense of fear and failure and brokenness after the events of Easter, Jesus greets the disciples with the words, "Peace be with you," or "Shalom." May things be the way they ought to be. And so as we bring our circumstances and our memories to God this evening, what might we hope that God will do in our lives? And what will it be good to pray for? Well, firstly, as we remember our loved ones or our circumstances before God, we have the promise that he in turn remembers us. He puts the broken and damaged and dismembered aspects of our lives back together so that we can face the future with the resurrection hope of a new start. And so if we're praying for ourselves, why not pray, "Lord, remember me. Put me back together, please." And secondly, in seeking God's peace in the midst of our troubles, if there's one thing that it would be good to pray for each other, it is this single, simple, yet deeply profound word, Shalom. Praying it in the knowledge that it is a powerful prayer of blessing for wholeness, a prayer that somehow, in his wisdom and power, God would make things the way they ought to be. Amen.